We'll appreciate the songs, the Lord's faithfulness. I feel like He's given me a message to share with you this morning that I pray will be an encouragement and a challenge to us. The song talked about holding on. You know, you don't have to hold on to what you receive immediately. The scripture thing talks about you don't hope for that which you see not. But we many times have to wait. Many times, and I believe by the Lord's own design, we don't receive what we wish for or what we feel that we need immediately. My burden this morning to share with you is wait on the Lord. I'd like to begin in 2 Thessalonians, the third chapter. Second Thessalonians chapter 3. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from all evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Oh, may the Lord direct our hearts this morning. May the Lord teach our hearts, incline our mind and our thoughts into the love of Christ, that that would be the result that comes out, or the fruit that comes from the situations, the troubles, the perplexities, the trials that we face. Lord, direct our hearts into the love of God. Lord, teach us to love you in a greater measure, in a greater sense than what we've ever had before. The Lord's able to direct our hearts into those things. And it says, into the patient waiting for Christ. I believe there's two aspects of this that I'd like to consider this morning. What it means to patiently wait for Christ. You know, there are different ways that we can wait for something. I spoke a little bit about that thought here a few weeks ago, and believe Sister Melody maybe made reference to one of the scriptures that I'd like to read. We can wait for things because we have no choice. We can wait for things because there's nothing else we can do. And we can chafe and we can be irritated and we can be miserable the whole time that the answer or what I want is delayed. But may the Lord direct our hearts into the patient waiting for Christ. Lord, help me to wait patiently. Well, like to think about the first aspect of this waiting for Christ that comes to my mind. I'd like to look at Isaiah, the 35th chapter. Waiting for Christ. Isaiah 35. Says in verse 3, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. As Brother Dan said, don't know what some of us might be going through or facing. You know, the Lord's message to us is to strengthen us, to strengthen our hands when our hands feel weak, to strengthen our knees when our knees feel wobbly. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. To those whose hearts are fearful, whose hearts tremble at the things that you're facing and that we deal with, and the realities of what we face and what we deal with. It's not for that we're putting our head in the sand and ignoring or dismissing the reality of problems that we're facing. That's not what David did when he faced Goliath. He didn't say, you're no taller than me, you're no stronger than I am, I don't believe it, I won't see it. He saw it, and yet he saw something that was greater than Goliath. He looked into his God. The Lord will come with a vengeance and with a recompense. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. You know, it's safe for us to commit our ways unto the Lord, knowing that the Lord will bring things to pass in a right way. The impatience of the flesh, the impatience of humanity will tend to want to try to right things right now. And appreciated the testimonies that I heard this morning, each one of them. And as some of those heard about things that can just not seem right. The ways people treat us or things they do to us that don't seem right. And there can be irritants that get in there, and that the flesh would want to try to rise up if we serve it. And to try to deal with things in the way that seems right and just and fair. To recompense this situation. You know, the Lord is able to recompense things that don't seem right unto us if we'll wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. He will come. He'll come. We think about patient waiting for Christ. The Lord's coming again one day. Wait for it. You know, I think about through our lives, there are situations and circumstances that I say, Lord, I need you to come on the scene. Lord, I need you in this. Lord, I need you to answer prayer here. Lord, I need you to turn this situation around. Lord, I need this right now. I need you to come and to bless and to work in this. The Lord will come. Strengthen your heart. Be strong. Don't be afraid. The Lord will come and save you from whatever the circumstance, the situation that can look so dire. The Lord will come. There's a song I've sung before. It says, right on time. And it says, the song was, I don't have the words, but the song was talking about, they sent for Lazarus. They said, your friend's about to die. But still tarried he yet behind. So that time came that they laid Lazarus in the tomb. And down the road came Jesus, right on time. His ways and his timing is not always our own. But the Lord will come. And the Lord will come right on time. If we'll trust in him and we'll wait for him, down the road will come Jesus right on time. I'd like to look at Psalms, the 27th chapter. Psalms 27 in the 11th verse will begin. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path. Because of mine enemies, deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies. For false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Remember the scripture that I referenced from Hebrews. That which we see, we hope not for. David was referring to situations when his enemies would rise up against him. His enemies with false witness and cruelties that they breathed out against him. And he said, I believed to see the goodness of the Lord. The Lord, I will see your goodness through this. You know, when we serve the Lord, we can believe that. That all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. I may look at a circumstance and say, this is no good. But you know, the Lord can take and work that situation for good for me. That's what the Lord does. So David believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I know that one day everything will be set right. I know that one day when I see the Lord, one day when He comes for me, that it'll all be set right. You know, even in this life, in the land of the living, folks, we can see the Lord. Wait on the Lord. The Lord will come through for us. The Lord will be faithful unto His own. Wait on the Lord, he said in verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I don't know at what point in David's life he penned these words, but they were heartfelt. And I believe that they were some things that David had learned from experiences that he had gone through. And the way he said it here, it's like the conclusion of it all. Wait on the Lord. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You know, David had to learn to wait on the Lord. Whenever, as we read in 1 Samuel, the 24th chapter, Saul was on his heels. Saul was seeking his life. He wasn't just harassing him. Saul was intent on destroying David. And here's David, who's already been anointed the king of Israel. He knew that God's favor and His blessings was upon him. And he knew that he had a future in Israel. You know how easy it could have been for David then to take resources at his disposal, popularity and favor with the people, and turn that to say, I've got to rid myself of this annoyance. I know that the Lord's blessing is upon me, and this isn't the way that it's supposed to go. This isn't right. This isn't fair. I, as the rightful king of Israel, should not be having to run for my life. We've got, boys, we got to set this thing straight here. We got to show who's who here. You remember the time that as Saul was pursuing him and they had fled into the cave and they were waiting around the perimeter of the cave, and Saul and his men didn't know it, and they come in and Saul lays down and they fall asleep, and David rose and he cut a part of Saul's garment. And it says that David's heart smote him. And he repented for that. He said, God forbid that I should do this to His anointed. You know, David was learning and had learned to commit his way unto the Lord, to wait upon the Lord. That even though there was a period in his life that he was on the run, there was a period in his life when it seemed like things were against him and weren't going his way, when it seemed like things were not working together for good, for the purpose that the Lord had already shown to David, yet David waited on the Lord. David could have taken his life and said, finally. But he committed it to the Lord. And he allowed the Lord to work with Saul, and he allowed the Lord to work with the situation, that he could bring it all to pass in his time and in his way for David. Wait, I say, on the Lord. The time that the Philistines rose up again against David, and he asked the Lord and sought of the Lord and said, Lord, should I go up against them? And he said, don't go up. You wait. You fetch a compass round about behind them, and you go up to the mulberry tree and you sit there. And you wait under the mulberry tree until you hear a sound up in the tree. And then you go, and you'll be victorious. And David did just that. He went, and he sat under the tree, and he waited on the Lord. And when the Lord sent a sound, or whatever that sound was in the tree, he heard that, and he went forth, and the Lord gave a victory unto him. I'd like to look at another story from David's life found in 2 Samuel. There are a lot of highlights in David's life. A lot of times that he saw the Lord work and manifest himself and his glory. You know, there were also some dark periods in David's life. Yes. Some from his own doings. I'd like to look here at 2 Samuel, the 21st chapter. Fifteenth verse. Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel. And David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines. And David waxed faint. Wait, David what? The David that went up before Goliath and in courage and in faith and in confidence ran towards Goliath. That same David, it would seem at a later point in his life that, and you notice here that David wasn't just home sitting in the palace. David went down to war as well against the Philistines. David's heart, I believe, was still in this battle. And as he went down and he was warring against the Philistines, he waxed faint. And Ishbibenob, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. This son of the giant that saw his opportunity, he thought. He had a new sword and everything. And the armor and the weapons that he carried with him were of great weight. Something like Goliath, no doubt. And as David was coming up against here another giant, he waxed faint. And this giant thought, it's my opportunity. He was ready to seize the opportunity that he saw to destroy David. Isn't that just about the way the devil will work? When the enemy sees that we wax faint, well, let me just pause and say, do you ever wax faint? Do you ever have days where you're a little faint? Weary in mind, in body, in spirit? You know, the enemy will take advantage of those times when we feel tired. He'll take advantage of those times when we are stressed. The enemy will see those moments when I'm at my weakest physically and mentally and emotionally. And the enemy is going to launch his attack at our weakest moment. And he thought to have destroyed David. You know, the enemy has our destruction in mind. Each one of us. The enemy thinks to do each one of us harm and destruction. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored or helped him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David sware unto him, saying, thou shalt no more go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. They saw how close that was. But folks, what I want us to realize is the words of David were still true. Yes. Wait on the Lord. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Whenever it looked like his end was almost there, when it looked like he was almost defeated, when it looked like hope was almost gone, what'd the song say? Just hold on a little longer. Help is on the way. Folks, don't give up. Don't be discouraged. Whenever it feels like you're down, whenever it feels like that the enemy is riding over you, when it feels like things are not going your way, when you feel faint, say to them that are of weak hands and knees, be strong. Be strong in the Lord. Wait on the Lord. And he will save us. And the Lord knew just the right time to send help to David. And you know, I'll say as an aside here, folks, we need each other. You know, there may be times that I'm weak, that I need you. That I need your word of encouragement or your testimony that you give. I need that. And you know, there may be times that you're weak, that you might need some assistance that I'm able to lend. Folks, we need each other. We don't, any one of us, just live unto ourselves. And I don't want to. Lord, help me to be able to be there for my brother when he is in need, my sister when she's in need. Whenever another waxes faint, Lord, can I step in and help? Can I step in and help lighten their load? Can I step in and wield my sword on their behalf? The Lord sent help. I don't think the Lord had forgotten David. I don't know exactly why David had waxed faint here. It's possible and likely that it was later in his life. I don't know just how much later. Perhaps David was an older man here and waxed faint. For whatever reason, the Lord allowed him to wax faint. And yet he still came through right in time. And he used another man to help David. The Lord is able and will come through for us. So hold on. Be strong and wait on the Lord. Lamentations, the third chapter. Lamentations 3, I believe it's the 26th verse. If I can get there. Lamentations 3:26 says, well, let's go up a little bit. 24th verse. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Can you say that it's good to wait? Believe one scripture says ye have need of patience. You ever have the Lord show you or tell you you have need of patience? You know the way the Lord shows us that and the way the Lord teaches us that is many times through periods that we have to wait on the Lord. Waiting time. Waiting is difficult. It is good for a man. It is good for a human to both hope. Oh, what is it to lose your hope? You know there are so many hopeless people today. There are so many people in our world that have lost hope. They've looked to man for hope. They've looked maybe to careers for hope. They've looked to relationships with others for hope. They've looked for economic stability for hope. When those things are gone, they lose their hope. They feel a despair and an emptiness and a darkness and a hopelessness. It is good for us to hope in the Lord, to put our faith in God, not to hope in circumstances aligning themselves in a favorable and a positive and a pleasant way for me, not to put my hope in people, governments, the circumstances of life, but to put my hope in God and to quietly wait. You know, that's something to do with this patient waiting for Christ. To quietly hope in the Lord. Oh, be still, my soul. Be still and know that He is God. Because how often my heart will try to get worked up and anxious and agitated and fearful, and I see things that are around me, and the Lord gives me a mind and logic, and I can project forward. If things don't change here, I'm in trouble. Don't you think David realized, if things don't change here, I'm a dead man. Here, just one stroke of that new sword, I'm a dead man. Lord, help me whenever my heart feels like panicking, to train it to be still, to train it to wait on the Lord, to not panic, to not be distressed. Oh Lord, it's why I believe the scripture says, the Lord direct our hearts. Of course, I don't know how to do these things in myself. But the Lord knows how to direct and teach my heart to wait on the Lord, to teach my heart to be still. I've heard it said that there are some times that the Lord stills the storm. And there are some times that the Lord stills me. I always want, Lord, stop this storm. Lord, stop these circumstances. Stop this problem. Stop this trouble. Lord, cause it to cease. Cause it to go away. I know you can. And sometimes the Lord is saying, child, be quiet. Be still. Wait on the Lord. Be still and see that I am God. Let me show myself to you in the storm. The Lord doesn't promise to always stop our storms the moment we're in them. But if we'll wait on the Lord, He'll bring us through. He'll calm our hearts. Think about Paul whenever he was on the ship that was about to shipwreck. And the men were so fearful and for their lives, and really rightly so. But Paul was the man that was calm. And you know, he was able to witness to the others through his calmness. Because there was something different about Paul. And it wasn't just about Paul. It was about what the Lord had done in Paul. And he was able in the midst of the storm to say, men, the Lord has shown himself to me. It's going to be all right. Oh, for the Lord to give us that testimony in our storms. Folks, the world goes through storms. Family members will go through storms and will go through storms. But Lord, help us to wait on the Lord, to hear His voice in the storm, to seek Him until He reveals Himself to my heart, so that I then can say to others who are distressed, the Lord revealed Himself to me. I'm in this storm with you. But the Lord revealed Himself to me. And it's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. That is the confidence and the assurance that we can have when we both hope and quietly wait on the Lord. Ishmael. Think for a moment about Ishmael. Remember, the Lord had given a promise unto Abram and Sarah that of their seed He would make a great nation. The problem was they had no seed. And over the course of years and into the old age of their life, they had no children. You know, there came a time that Abram yielded to the pressures and the importunity perhaps of his wife and her distress and his own, and looking at this promise and how is this going to be. And so through bondwoman, we can say it this way, he took things into his own hand, outside of the will and the plan of God. You know, we can, in our impatience, short-circuit the plan of God for our lives. Through our feeling like, I've got to make something happen here. I've got to bring this about. I've got to do something here. Lord, I've been waiting for you and you're not moving. I don't know why. I don't understand why you're not answering prayer. And Lord, direct our hearts to know what is our place and what is God's place. And I believe Abram started to step over into what God's place was. The Lord, I'm thankful, is able to redeem situations when we bring them to the Lord. And the Lord was able to redeem that situation And you can read things of great encouragement of how the Lord had mercy upon Ishmael. And yet, you realize that much of the world's false religion comes through the seed of Ishmael. The Lord had a plan, and the Lord was going to work His plan, and He did. And so the Lord taught Abram to wait and have faith. And we read the scriptures that talk about Abraham, even how beyond hope he hoped, considering not the deadness of Sarah's womb. He had faith in God. Lord, I'll wait and believe that He is able, and the Lord brought it to pass. So I want us to be challenged this morning to wait on the Lord, to not yield to the pressure that I might feel inside to shortcut waiting on the Lord, to try to take things into my own hand, and by so doing, potentially short-circuit what God is trying to work in its beauty in my life. I can short-circuit that if I'm not careful. Wait on the Lord. Think about a scripture in Habakkuk, the second chapter. It's talking about a promise, a vision that was for God's people concerning their enemies, and He said, though it tarry, wait for it. I've given you this promise, I've given you this prophecy, even though you don't see it. You can look at it and say, well, I don't see it coming to pass. Where is it? Wait for it. It shall not tarry. It almost sounds contradictory if you read it there in Habakkuk 2 and 3. It almost sounds contradictory. If it waits, or though it waits, wait for it, it won't wait. But in other words, though in your mind and in your eyes, it looks like it's not coming to pass, the promise of the Lord is failing, it looks like the Lord is not coming through in time. We know the promise that says He won't put on us more than we're able to bear. But have you ever been to that point that you say, Lord, it sure feels like it's getting real close here. Wait for it. Wait for it. Though it may not appear in my mind or my way of seeing things the way the Lord sees it, wait for it. Wait on the Lord. And in His time and in His way, it won't be delayed too long. The Lord will come through right on time. Isaiah, the 40th chapter. Beautiful and familiar passage. In the 28th verse, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might He increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. So we can't put our hope and our confidence and our trust and our strength and our youth. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Lord, help us to wait on Him. And in His time, He will come. In His time, He will come through for us in our difficulties and our troubles and our trials. The Lord will come. Wait on Him. And lastly, I wanted to consider two aspects of waiting on the Lord. The time is coming that the Lord will return. James, the 5th chapter. There's something that we're living for, we're believing in. We live not for the world and its temporary, immediate pleasures. There's something more that we live for, and that day is coming. James chapter 5, verse 7 says, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. I'll apply that to both ways that we've considered here this morning. Establish your hearts. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. In your trial, establish your heart. Set your face to seek the Lord and wait on Him. His coming is drawing close. The Lord will come through for you. And when it comes to the Lord's return for us, when He calls us home, whether at the end of my life or the end of all lives, that day is drawing nigh. So let's establish our hearts. We're in a waiting period right now in the history of this world. We're in a waiting period for the return of the Lord. And that's another message we don't have time for. But I want us to remember that the Lord is returning soon. We'll leave it to Him how soon is soon. But the Lord is returning soon. And I want Him to find a people and find a man here who is patiently waiting for His return. Because you know what the alternative is to patiently waiting? In one sense, it's like the children of Israel did whenever they were waiting for Moses to return down from the mountain. And that was just a month or so. That they were waiting for Moses, and as they finally got to the point in those few weeks that they said, well, we don't know what's become of Moses. We don't know if he's ever coming back. It seems like this waiting period is never going to be over. And they allowed their hearts to start wandering back to Egypt. They allowed their desires and their thoughts to start straying back to the things of pagan nations around them. And in such a short time, they gave themselves over to the worship of the gods of this world. Lord, help us not to do that. As His children who are in a waiting period, where He's not told us how soon He's going to return. What I know, the Scripture says, what I say unto you, I say unto all. Wait. Wait. Stay awake. Wait for the coming of the Lord. Keep your hearts during this waiting period. Keep your minds stayed on things above. Don't allow your hearts to be, by gradual degrees, turned away from the Lord. Keep your heart and your mind stayed on the Lord. That's what it is to wait on the Lord. As those who wait for His coming. In so many places that Jesus talked about it as those, the servants whose master has gone away into a far country. And while he's gone, some of them began to beat their fellow servants and because he delayed his coming. And when that master returns, he'll cut them asunder and not have any part because they didn't wait patiently for the Lord. So may the Lord direct us and our hearts this morning into the hope and the patient waiting for Christ. Lord, help us to wait on the Lord. You pray for me. Amen.